The origin of the feast that we celebrate today, the Feast of All Saints, goes far back into the history of the church. In fact, it goes back to the times when persecution existed and martyrdom begins to develop in the church very, very early. The persecution of the Christians at the hands of the Roman Empire gave birth to many, many martyrs. There are those that we know, and perhaps there were many others who were killed as well. These martyrs stood firm in their faith in Jesus Christ as they endured horrendous suffering and ultimately death. Now, when the persecution ended with Constantine, about 314 AD, the church felt a great need to honor these martyrs. The church wanted to honor them for their striving towards godliness. Many of the martyrs were trying to imitate Christ. Imitation of Christ was one of their primary goals. And the church wanted to honor the witness that their fidelity brought to the church. So as early as 379 AD, think how many centuries back that is, Pope Boniface of Caesarea called for a common day to venerate all the martyrs. And that's the origin of this feast. But as the church develops and history develops, in about the 9th century, Pope Gregory IV, he extended the celebration to all the saints, not just the martyrs, but to all the saints, known and unknown. The original date for this feast was May the 1st, but it was Pope Gregory IV who then transferred this feast to November the 1st. In that sense, I feel very proud and privileged to be part of this long tradition in the Catholic Church. And those of you who are in RCIA, one of the things that we try to impress upon you is this unbroken chain of tradition and teaching and leadership. So here is one example of that, something that exists from 379 AD, we celebrate even now. But I feel not proud, not only because of the history, but because of what the feast stands for. It's an honoring, the striving for godliness. It's the honoring, the fidelity it takes to get there. And so I want to hold both of those things up as we reflect on this feast. Now, as I keep this history of the feast in my mind, and as we read the readings for today, as we hear the readings for today, I think they go very well hand in hand. The first reading from the book of Revelation speaks about those that are marked with the seal. 144,000 is what John says, marked with the seal. The second reading refers to us as children of God. So think about it, marked with the seal, children of God. And there's a gospel reading. Jesus calls his disciples blessed. So there are the marked, there are those that are the children, and there are those that are blessed. Really, these are synonyms for the word saint, isn't it? So these three words help us to understand the Feast of All Saints. So let me draw three practical implications for us from this feast, from the readings and from the history. So first of all, let me talk about those marked with the seal. I began my homily by tracing the origin of today's feast to the martyrs, right? In fact, persecution and martyrdom is also the best way to understand today's first reading from the book of Revelation. Now, this is a very misunderstood book. Most people think that this book foretells how the world is going to end. And really, that is far from the truth. This book is meant to give hope to a people suffering persecution and to encourage them to stay faithful to their faith. That is the primary motive of this book. Now, John, who wrote this book, was himself suffering in prison. Now, there are different kinds of suffering. There is the suffering of people who suffer from illnesses, from natural death, from misfortune, from natural disasters. But there's yet another kind of suffering. The suffering of those who strive hard for godliness. The suffering of those people who endure different situations that bring pain because they're trying to be faithful to the gospel. And there is also the suffering of those people who undergo suffering because they choose to be like Christ and to stand for what he stood for. There is also the suffering of those people who embrace suffering like Jesus did. And honestly speaking, when we undergo suffering because of natural disasters or because of illnesses or sometimes aging, a very good and hopeful posture is to find unity with the suffering of Christ. That is also one kind of suffering. So the book of Revelation and today's feast is an invitation to all the baptized, to really live like Christ and to be faithful like him. And we believe that all the baptized are marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit. So the marked are not just in the book of Revelation. If you have been baptized once and for all, each one of us has been marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit. Which means that our striving for godliness, our striving for holiness, especially in time of suffering, is precious for God. Our striving for holiness and godliness in the time of suffering, it's an act of worship. It's an act of witness. When we endure this kind of suffering, we join the angels and saints in heaven as they cry out, blessing and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving, honor and power and might to our God forever and ever. The suffering of the baptized is an act of worship and witness. It not only unites us to the saints, it actually makes us saints. It makes us saints. So suffering becomes a way to approach holiness. Secondly, John, perhaps the same John who wrote the book of Revelation, we do not know this for sure. Some people say it's the same John who wrote the book of Revelation and the gospel and the letters. Let's presume that this is the same John. This John says to us in our reading, "See what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called the children of God." So in one book he calls those believers marked with the seal. But he has another term for them. He says children of God. And really, I find this passage in all of the book of in all of the writings of John, I find this verse to be so consoling, so profound, so poignant. He's really trying to tell the believers, see what love the Father has for us, that we might be called the children of God. When do we become the children of God? When we are marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit. It is in baptism that we become the sons and daughters of God. And I think what John is trying to impress upon his readers is this idea: our identity and our dignity. I was asking the children in the beginning, what did they dress up as for Halloween? Really, I was asking them, who do they try to be? Some people try to be Spider-Man and Superman, right? But what is our dignity? It's a question of who we are. What is our identity? And John is saying, it's being the child of God, a son and a daughter of God. Now, those of you who are parents, you know how deeply you love your children. I know how deeply I love my mother loves me and my father loves me. And as you look at your children often, you remember how you strive to nurture them as babies, as little children, as young people, and into adulthood. And the greatest joy that your children can give you is what? That they can live what you've taught them. It's the greatest respect that you can give to your parents is to tell your parents, Mom, you taught me, and look what I've become. The best thing that children can do to their parents is to love them back. And John is saying, let's transfer that to our relationship with God. See what love the Father has for us. That we are called the children of God. And if we are children, then our dignity and our identity should be such that the Father can be proud of us. But we can show our act of reverence and worship and witness by bearing witness to God in our lives. See what love the Father has for us, that He's called us the children of God. So today's feast is an invitation to strive to live out our dignity and our identity as the sons and daughters of God. Nothing less, nothing less. It's a profound invitation to love God back in the same way that God has loved us. So I'm saying that sainthood is a fruit of love. Sainthood is a fruit of love. And thirdly, Jesus calls those his disciples, blessed. What does striving for godliness look like? What does holiness look like? How can we be modern day martyrs? How can we live like the children of God? And today's gospel reading gives us the answer to these questions. I think this is what Jesus is saying. To be a saint, to live like those who are marked with a seal, to be the children of God is to be poor in spirit, to mourn with those who suffer, to be meek, to hunger and thirst for what is right, to be merciful, to be clean of heart, to be peacemakers. That is our identity, that is our dignity, that is what we should strive for as we strive for godliness. As we look at the world around us, folks, it seems so urgent that we should stand for what Christ stood for. Really. As we look around us, it is so urgent that we stand for what Christ stood for. For example, amidst the racial and religious and economic and social and political violence, what does it mean to be a peacemaker? You know how the dialogue is going around in the media, and it's very divisive. It's very violent. It's very oppressive. It is very us and them. What does it mean to be a peacemaker? Someone who brings people together rather than add fuel to the fire and cause more division. What does it mean to be a peacemaker? As insensitive judgments and decisions are made against the poor, the immigrants, the refugees, what does it mean to be merciful and to mourn with those who are in pain and suffering? What does it mean? Can we be clean of heart and be less judgmental Can we be meek and humble and poor of spirit in this very individualistic and egoistic generation? And I believe that to stand for what Christ stood for can bring about modern day persecution. It's nothing compared to the martyrdom of the people in the early Christian church, but in one way, to be a martyr is to suffer for what Christ suffered for. Today, let us accept the invitation to be blessed, to be saints, to live like the children of God, to live the dignity that is given to us at our baptism. And if we strive to do that, then really we are all striving for sainthood. May the one who shows us the way, Jesus, may the one who shows us the way be with us as we strive for godliness and to stand for what he stood for. The people of God said,